Let's make our confession today as we get into the Word of the Lord. Everybody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, incorruptible, ever-living seed, the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You ever, no, this thing just broke. No, it didn't break. What? It said, what? What? What'd you say? Who you say? You do? You look pretty, don't you? What? Come on now. Sure you do, you guess. You know you do. Ain't that right, Laverne? Who you see? You see, what's her name? Oh, you can see a lot of people back there. You're looking through the rear view mirror, aren't you? Who you see? I know who Kay sees. Uh-oh, that's who she see, don't she? She see. Who you see, Chris? Well, you see Chris. Uh-oh. I'm trying to get everybody to look at it first. We know what we see. Amen. How many looked in the mirror today? How many looked in the mirror today? I think most everybody probably would have just about, wouldn't you? Looked in the mirror today? Well, you know what? I want you to just hold that thought with you. I might look at it again. Just look at it. But anyway, we began talking last week, looking at John chapter 1. We're going to go very quickly over just a couple of verses, and then we're going to move into some new territory. But in John chapter 1, I want to read you something. This is part of what was written. This was written back in 1948 by T.L. Osborne in his book called Healing the Sick. On page 127, here's what he wrote this many years ago. Thousands of Christians live far below their privileges in Christ and constantly negate the good life by retaining their old confessions. Your words control and dominate you because they express your thoughts. Remember, words express thoughts. You can't think without having a word. You can't speak a word without having a thought. And so my thoughts and my words, in one regard, are one and the same. When you hear me speaking out loud, you're hearing words, but you only hear that because I thought it. Now, if I don't speak out loud to you, I think it, I'm still having words rehearsed and going over in my mind, in my heart, in my spirit, in my head. In other words, that's the way we think about stuff. That's the way that the thinking process works. Words and thoughts, one and the same. Words are thoughts expressed. Actually, when T.L. penned this, he got that from a man named William Branham, was the first person I know that said anything like that in the last 100 years, but that's where he got it. He said, your words control and denominate you because they express your thoughts, which are the seeds of your life. Your thoughts are the seeds of your life. What do seeds do? They're planted, they bring forth a harvest, and we have the results. Your thoughts are your planting of your life. Your thoughts are the seeds that you broadcast, the things that you put out there to produce a crop for you. What you're thinking is producing your life. What you're speaking is telling us what you're thinking. T.O. went on to say, learn to think the good life and talk or confess the good life. Sooner than you ever dreamed, your actions will express your thoughts and your words, and you'll live the good life. He says the process is this: thoughts, words, deeds. Thoughts, words, deeds. Everybody say thoughts, words, deeds. One more time. Thoughts, words, deeds. Real quickly, thoughts, words, deeds. Thoughts, words, and deeds. That's the action. That's the line level that it takes. He said, now that you've been born again, how many's been born again? Say, I have. Never think or talk on the level of the old life. Now that you've been born again, never think or talk on the level of the old life. Why? Because old things are passed away and all things have become new. Change your thoughts and your words. Some people say, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Probably shouldn't. We can agree with that. But back it up. It's not what you said. It's what you thought. You shouldn't have thought that, because if you hadn't thought it, you wouldn't have said it. Okay? Because they're connected. You can't separate the two. And so change your thoughts. Change your words from the old life to the new. If you will observe closely, you will notice, T.L. says, that every time you allow yourself to think negatively and to speak negatively, you act negatively. So by course, if when I think negatively, I speak negatively, I act negatively, if I want to get rid of my negative acting life, I back it up to think positively, speak positively, and then act positively. Or you can change those words whatever you like. When you think evil, you speak evil, you get evil. But if you think righteous, you speak righteous, you get righteousness. And so you walk accordingly. He said, you said you did not have faith. And at that moment, doubt arose like a giant and it bound you. Perhaps you never realized it, but you are ruled by your words and by your thoughts. Amen. Now then, look in John chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says very quickly, in the beginning was the Word was God. Everybody say, in the beginning, the Word. Everything begins with the Word. Here we're talking about the Word, the divine Logos, Jesus Christ himself, who's going to become incarnate. But before his incarnation, he was known as the Word. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning of everything you do in life is your Word. In the beginning of whatever you have or whatever you don't have, wherever you go or wherever you don't go, is your Word. That is the beginning. It says here in verse 3 of John 1, all things were made by him, the Word. And without him was not anything made that was made. Your life is also made by your words. And what you think and what you say will make your life. Whatever kind of life that you want, think and say it, and it will eventually come your way. That's the power that God has given us, being a free moral agent. We have the right to choose. We can choose in our life. We read that. We talked about that last week. We also talked about, you don't have to turn there, but we talked about Proverbs 23, verse 7, which tells us, as a man thinks, so is he. In other words, I am what I think. My thoughts are me. Everybody say, I am what I think. If you think positively, you're going to have a positive life, and you'll live your life in that fashion. If you think down and out, if you think and your mind's in the gutter, you're going to have a gutter life. I want a good life. How about you? Well, how do I get it? I think good. Now, that thinking process that you and I have has to be challenged. Because all of us were born into the world the same way, with an empty vessel, if you will, and it's filled by those around us. It's filled by society. It's filled by our parents. It's filled by our family. It's filled by our connections in life when we go to school. It's filled by our acquaintances. It's filled by our friends. It's filled by our enemies. It's filled by people we know, by people we don't know, by people on the news media, by people on radio and songs and music and writings, and all these things fill our mind. And basically, the course of this world is not one that is righteous. And so I have a problem. You have a problem that when we come to this place in our life, what we find out is our life is filled with the wrong kind of stuff. I don't think right. I don't think like God. I don't act like God. Because I don't think like God, I don't talk like God. I'm not pleasing to God in this life. And so there has to be a renewal of that mind. We read last Sunday from Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17 that says, I say therefore and testify in the Lord that don't walk after other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind. We're commanded not to walk like the world walks in the vanity of their mind. If you want to be a disciple of Christ, you have to change your mind. We call it repentance. Change your words and you'll change your actions and you'll change your deeds. It works that way. You can't help it. It will work that way. For good or bad, it will work that way. Once you change your thinking, you'll change your words. When you change your words and your thinking, you'll change what you do. When you change what you do, you'll change what you have and the way you live your life in this present world. It's just the way it works. And so he said that we are to renew our mind. He talks about that. Paul mentioned that. He talked about renewing the spirit of your mind. In fact, he said, having this understanding darkened, the Gentiles do. Their past feeling, he said, about the Gentiles. They're into greediness and they're into lasciviousness, he said, about them. He said, that's not the way you've learned Christ. And he goes on and he says this, if you've truly learned Jesus, you'll put off concerning the formal manner of life, the old man that's corrupted, and you'll be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And so you'll be renewed in such a fashion that it's just not one thing that you don't do. For example, if the Lord tells us we're not to steal, thou shalt not steal, we know we're not supposed to steal. We understand that's one law. That's one principle. That's one command of God. We know that. But that's not being renewed in the spirit of your mind, because you could still reach out and steal something and say, I shouldn't have done that. But you stole it. But you know you shouldn't. To be renewed in the spirit of your mind is just not to know one point, one fact, one little principle, one little law, but it's where the overall thinking of your mind has changed to where the mind thinks, I don't steal. Everybody say, I don't steal. The mind has changed. And he said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's not as much a laser-like pinpointed thing of renewal as it is an overall renewal in our heart, our spirit, and our mind. And so we talked about that just a little bit last week. We also begin to look at the understanding of how we do that. Remember now, thoughts are words and words are thoughts, whether they're expressed out loud audibly or only expressed to yourself. Some of us tell ourselves things about ourselves. We speak about ourselves. We talk about ourselves. And what we're saying is not God. It is not good. It is not righteous. It is not holy. And because of that, we live our life that way. We live our life like we cannot make it. We cannot win. We cannot overcome. One man wrote a book years ago called Born to Lose. And that was his life story called Born to Lose. Well, I'll tell you what. You might have been born to lose the first time. But if you got born again the second time, you've been born to win. Everybody say amen. I've been born to win. And losing just don't feel right. It doesn't. I've lost a few times after that. But it don't set well with my spirit, because it's not the spirit of my mind to lose. Because something's changed on the inside. Well, what we have to do is we have to renew our mind, the spirit of our mind. And we begin to see that in Psalm 77. We read where the psalmist said, Psalm 77 verse 12, I'll meditate, or I'll think also of your work, and I'll talk of your doings. I'll think and I'll talk. Everybody say think and talk. I'll think and I will talk. It's not just a thing that's out here in my talking. It has moved onto the inside of us. We think it and we talk what the word says. Jesus said this. He said, the words I speak in you, they are spirit and they are life. The words you speak come forth from you, are coming forth from the spirit of who you are as well. And they are your life as well. Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they'll bring spirit, they'll bring life to you. And the words that you speak, they'll bring spirit and life to you. They will. And so whatever words you're putting out there, that's becoming your life. It's becoming who you are. It's becoming your character. It's becoming your nature. It is who you are. Now, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. I want to show you this. Isaiah 55 verse 6. Brand new scripture. Didn't look at it last week. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. The problem is, we have to renew our mind, because the mind we now have been messed with by the devil and messed with by the world, and it is not the mind that Christ wants us to have. In Isaiah 55 and verse 6, the scripture tells us, Isaiah 55 and verse 6, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near or while he is close. It says, verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way. Now remember that little part of that verse, okay? Let the wicked forsake his way. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his what? Thoughts. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Why is that important? Because you won't forsake your way if you don't forsake your thoughts. Well, once you find out you're thinking the wrong thing, you're going to have to change the wrong thing you've been thinking. Get rid, cast out the wrong thing you've been thinking. Cast down that imagination. Get rid of it. Anything that exalts itself in the knowledge of God, the Bible tells us. So we get rid of that thought. We replace it with God's thought. But now, look at it. It says, verse 7, and let him return unto the Lord. How do you return unto the Lord? In your thoughts and your ways. If you say, well, I return unto the Lord, but you're not thinking different, and you're not acting different, you don't have it. You didn't get it. You haven't made that return. And he says, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon or forgive. Now, verse 8, I hear people quote this all the time. Christians say this. Christians, they'll be talking about, well, you know, it's a hard life we're living in this world, and you never know what God will do, and all this kind of stuff they're talking about, and it's really just a tough life, and oh, I just hope I make it through. Y'all pray for me that I just make it through. All I want to do is enter in, is I just barely make it in. You know, all this kind of stuff Christian talks, and then they'll say stuff like that and say, well, you ought not to be thinking stuff like that. And then they'll say, well, you know what? The Bible says our thoughts are, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, says the Lord. That's just me and my old rebellious mind, I guess. That's just me filled with doubt and unbelief, I guess. Well, if that's you, that's you. But that also says you hadn't been abundantly pardoned yet. Amen. Look at the verse right before it. We just read in verse 8. We just read in verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his thoughts. If somebody says, well, my thoughts and God's thoughts are just not the same. Well, forsake yours, because God's not going to forsake his thoughts. So you need to get rid of your thoughts. Amen? Everybody say, I need to get rid of my thoughts if my thoughts are contrary to God's thoughts. I'm the one's going to change. And I got news for you. If your thoughts are different from God, if there's going to be any changes made, it's going to be you the one doing the change. Somebody said, well, when I get to heaven, everything will be all right then, won't it, Pastor? It'd be wonderful when I get to heaven. If you keep thinking like you've been thinking, you might not make it there. I mean, don't sound like you're going. Yeah, you need to be careful. There's some stuff out there right now that's going on, and it's hurting my heart so much to hear some of it. But there's some stuff out in the world going on right now. They're talking this hyper-grace movement, saying you live any kind of way, and your sins are forgiven. Past, present, future, whatever, it don't matter. You're forgiven. Hey, if you commit an adultery, you're not going to heaven. Isn't that what the Bible says? If you are a liar and a thief, according to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 8, you're not going to heaven. You say, but I've been saved. Say anything you want to say. If you lying and you thiefing, if you commit adultery and you dying, you're not going to heaven. Not according to this book. Everybody say holiness, righteousness, godliness. Those are the things that get you into heaven, living and walking, having your mind. Look here. If you're about verse 7, if you still got wicked thoughts and wicked ways, you haven't been abundantly pardoned yet. Get the goods. Get the stuff. Oh, God, help us. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. Now, notice verse 9. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Yes, to the unregenerated, unborn again, unmind-renewed man or woman, yes. But not with the child of God that has been abundantly pardoned and who has forsaken his thoughts. I mean, the Bible can reveal who I am and who you are. And if we recognize that to be in our sinfulness, then we ask God for his forgiveness. We claim the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. And we walk in his righteousness and we walk in his freedom and his forgiveness. We don't keep living in it and saying, okay, I'm all right. You're not all right. You're not all right. You got to get rid of the sin. What if I married my wife, and I married her several years ago, and she said, well, Leon, how come it is that since we've been married, you've got two or three other women that you run around with? And I said, well, that's all right, Sheila. I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm still married to you. Don't you think about them two other women. Somebody's thoughts would get purged right quick, don't you know? It wouldn't be hers either. I think my mind would get renewed in a hurry. No, you don't think that about any other real situations of life. But when it comes to God, you act like you can live like a sinner and still be right. You can't. And the only way you're going to get rid of your ways is to get rid of your talk. Only get rid of your talk, get rid of your thoughts. Get your mind renewed. Everybody say, get your mind renewed. Now, look with me at John chapter 14, verse 8. John chapter 14, verse 8. Speaking of look at me, let me see if I'm still in here. Yeah, there I am. Uh-oh. One hair is out of place. You know, it used to be a miracle for him to count the hairs on my head, but it's not quite a miracle anymore. Just going to be pretty good at it. But anyway, it is. John chapter 14, verse 8. What we do in this life is this. We do not try to conform to church leadership, to pastors and evangelists and deacons and prophets. We don't try to conform to other people. That's not what the Christian life is about. But we are imitators. We are to be imitators of God. We are to act like God. Somebody said, well, I said years ago, Mary Kay, that did the cosmetics, said, well, fake it until you can make it. I guess that's what cosmetics do, it, and they fake it. You'll get it about 2 o'clock this afternoon. Fake it until you can make it. And I'm not saying live a faking life, but I'm saying this. Yeah. Talk it till you know it. Speak it till you have it. Think it until it really is you. Do it until it feels natural. Stay in it. When you first walk, start in the things of God, you might have a little bit of a difficulty in those lines, but stay with it. Now let's look at what Jesus did. In John chapter 14, verse 8, how many know Jesus is our example? Amen? John 14, verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. We want to see God. We want to see God the Father. And it'll suffice us. That'll be enough. That's all we want. Verse 9, Jesus said to him, have I been so long time with you? And you have, or yet have you not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? What you doing saying, show us the Father, and you've been looking at me all this time? Verse 10. Do you believe you not that I am in the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Notice words and works. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. In other words, Philip, look at me. You see the stuff I do? You know I couldn't do that stuff if God weren't in me. So if you can't just believe me by looking at me knowing that God's in me, then look at the stuff I do. Then you can see it. You can see God. Now, you're there in John 14, 8. Look at John chapter 12. Back up John chapter 12, verse 14. Jesus is talking about his relationship with God the Father almost like God is in him. He is. Almost like he's God's son. He is. He's talking almost like that if you've seen Jesus, you've seen God the Father. You have. Look what he says. John 12, verse 49. He said, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me the commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. So when I hear Jesus speak, in reality, who am I hearing speak? God the Father, right? Is that what he says? Verse 50, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting, and whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So if I want to hear what God's got to say to me, I can listen to Jesus. Because he said everything he said, the Father told him. That's the way he lived his life. Came to this earth, of course he was God Almighty. He came down in the incarnation and he lived life as a man, showing you how we ought to live on this earth. And so he says that if you want to see God, look at me. If you want to hear God, listen to me. If you want to see the works of God, look at the works that I do. In other words, he said, the words I'm speaking to you, they're not my words, they're God the Father's. He's the one that gave me the words to say. Now, you're there in John 12, verse 49. Let me read it to you. Another translation says this, for I have not spoken of my own accord, but the Father who sent me, he has given me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know, too, that his command is eternal life. So what I say is just what the Father has told me to say. What I say is exactly what God said for me to say. That's what Jesus said. And so the words that you hear him saying are the words that the Father told him to say. He's imitating God the Father. He's showing us God the Father. Now, look at John chapter 5, all in the same book right there. Look back up a few more chapters. John chapter 5, verse 19 said, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees. Everybody say sees. Sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these things also does the Son likewise. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm not even doing what I do. I'm doing what the Father does. And whatever you see me do, you're just seeing what the Father would do. Somebody said, well, would Jesus heal me if I got sick? Well, did Jesus heal sick people? He did, didn't he? So I know that God the Father would heal sick people. Did Jesus love and care about the lost and forsaken and forgotten? Yes, he did. Well, I know that God the Father did. Because he said, Jesus basically said, whatever you see me do, and whatever you hear me say, you're actually hearing God the Father. Now, let's look at this passage. Look with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, if that's Jesus, and he is my example, and he's your example, then we ought to follow in his footsteps. We ought to be just like him and do just like what he said to do. And the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, he said, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. You and I are a follower of God. The Amplified Bible says, therefore be imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example as well-beloved children, imitating their father. Be just like your father. Amen? As Kyle and Deidre bring Carter to their service today, happy day, but a responsible day. Because he's going to be just like his daddy. And being a daddy, I've done a few things right. I messed up a few times. And you got to be real careful because children follow you just like you are. Amen? How many going to pray for them? Amen? Amen. Big responsibility. Well, Jesus said, you know what? For us, we are to follow God the Father. The difference in me and Kyle and God is me and Kyle, we might mess up a time or two. But God the Father never does. So you can imitate him to the nth degree in everything he said and everything he does, just like Jesus said that he did. That's what we're supposed to be doing in our life. Now, how could we do that? Remember now, our thoughts and our words. Our thoughts and our words, which in a simplified way, is basically you. It's basically, and you don't know yourself outside of your thoughts and your words. I mean, anything you think about yourself, think. Anything that you do in life, the way you live, I mean, it comes out of that arena of who you are, thoughts and your words. Well then, let me see how I should talk. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4, verse 17, that God, speaking about Abraham, said, I've made him a father of many nations. His name was Abram, which meant father. God called him Abraham, which meant father of many, and called him that. And then it says that God makes alive the dead and calls things that which be not as though they were. God calls things that be not as though they were. So in your thinking and in your words, you need to think and speak about things that be not just like it was. You see, the problem with us sometimes in Christianity is this. We're going to do. We're going to be. We're going to change. We're going to have. We're going to possess. We're always going to do something. Let me give you a new understanding this morning. Christianity is not about what you're going to do. It's about what you are right now. You see, faith is not going to be. Faith is. Now, faith is, the Bible tells us. When's the day of salvation? Sometimes they tell me. Now is the day of salvation. Jesus went into the temple. He opened the book and he read. He said, the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel. And he said, today, now, this verse is fulfilled. This passage is fulfilled in your hearing. Yet it wasn't, as far as we know. But it was in the mind of the Spirit. And the world finally accepted that it was. You see, when you are to speak things about your life, we as children of God aren't praying to get healed. Amen. Praise God. We have already been healed. I am healed. Everybody say, I am healed. I am healed. Now, wait a minute, I'm still sick. No, I am healed. I am healed. Now, here, God said he called things that be not as though they were. He said, well, I'm not. Well, call things that be not. He said, I don't feel healed. Well, that's the thing that be not. Call it as it was. I'm healed in Jesus' name. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Bless the Lord, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Amen? Well, somebody say, well, one day I'll get healed. Hope you do. Let us know when that one day happens. We'll all rejoice with you. But Jesus healed you 2,000 years ago. So we're waiting on God to come and do something now. We say things like, well, if God don't show up, he's already showed up. He's already made his appearance. Well, if God just don't move, he's already moved. He's already done that. Well, if the Lord don't undertake, I don't know what happened. I don't know if he's an undertaker or not. But anyway, he's already done whatever you have need of. He's already done that. God, you know, I can pray every prayer that God has told me to pray. I'm absolutely convinced that Jesus don't have to step one foot off the throne to see them all fulfilled in a moment's time. Everybody say now. So we change our talk. We change our talk in calling things to be not as though they were. Look with me. You're sort of hanging around there. Look at John chapter 6. In John chapter 6 and verse 28. What about our works? What works are we supposed to do? Then said he unto them, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? John 6, 28. Verse 29. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. For you to work the works of God and me to work the works of God, all it has to do is believe on the one that does the work, which is God the Father. He's the one that does the work. So my responsibility and your responsibility is to believe on the one that does the work, which is him. Now, let me show you something. Go back to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 10. We were right close to that just a few moments ago. But look at Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 10. I want to show you something about this word and thoughts in your mind and your heart and working the works of God, bringing the two together. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 10, Scripture says, for as a man or as rain comes down from heaven and the snow from heaven and returns not there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Notice that the rain forces the earth to do something. It makes the earth do. The earth doesn't have a choice. You put water. You know what? This year at our home, we have had, and fields and everything else at our house, we've had the best grass we've ever had. Now, you know what? From last year to this year, we didn't put one drop of fertilizer on it. We didn't do anything different from last year. In fact, we did absolutely nothing different from last year than last year. But you look at, well, I mean, the spots that were bare filled in and all kind of stuff. How many's had the best grass you've ever had in years? Let me ask you another question. How many's got more rain this year than you've got in years? The rain made it do it. Grass had no choice. Soil, topsoil had no choice. Rain made it happen. When the rain hit the earth, it had to do it. So he says, verse 11, so shall my word be, words like rain, that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It's not going to come back empty. No, it's going to make something happen. Everybody say the word works. But it shall accomplish that which I please. It will prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now then, if I'm thinking, mind renewed, the words of God, speaking the words of God, the word of God that I thought and that I spoke goes out and makes something happen. It changes my world. It changes my life. Let's say you had a problem with something or sin or different thing going on in your life. Maybe you're trying to get drugs out of your life. You know what? Instead of saying, oh, God, help me quit. I got to stay away from that dope. I know what it does to me. Help me stay away from it. Well, I understand your prayer. Probably got a pretty good attitude by calling on the Lord about that. I understand that. I understand that. I'm trying to put you way down because of that. But let me give you something better to say. Why not say, Father, free me from the power of drugs. I accept your freedom now. And I no longer take dope, smoke dope, shoot dope, whatever. I don't do any of it. I'm free from it in Jesus' name. Yeah, but I ain't free yet. Didn't say that. Why not say what the Word says? The Bible says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen? Why not say that's me? I'm free in Jesus' name. Everybody say, I'm free in Jesus' name. Of whatever binds you, whatever is against you. Why not begin speaking to it like you already got it right now? Not like it's going to happen tomorrow, maybe next week. Who knows? A month from now or next year. Who knows? But why not just start speaking about it like you got it right now? Whenever you begin speaking about right now, listen to this. When you speak about it like it's right now, and your thoughts and your words become one, and you truly believe it, it will be your right now. That's one of the most amazing things. I've said it before, I'm not going to talk a lot about it, but when I first got saved, one of the most amazing things that came into my life was this. I thought I was going to have to fight sin. I thought I was going to have to give up sin. I thought I was going to have to quit sinning. And that's one reason it kept me from getting saved. I didn't think I could do all that. But then when I got saved, what I found out was that guy that loved sin was dead. And the new me didn't love sin anymore. And so I said, well, what do Christians do? I said, well, Christians go to church. Christians do this. They pray. They read the Bible. Well, that's me. I'm a Christian. I go to church. I pray. I read the Bible. I'm free. And I walked in the power of that because God's grace is mercy and love. But I only access His grace, mercy, and love because I agreed with what God said about me. I made the right confession that God had said about me. You need to make that confession. Instead of saying, oh, Lord, what am I going to do about my finances? What am I going to do about my finances? Oh, Lord, I need help. I need help in a big way. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, help me. Instead of talking like that, why not call things to be not as other words? Say, I don't have a problem with finances whatsoever. Everybody say in Jesus' name. I don't have a problem with finances in the name of Jesus. I don't have a problem with finances in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And begin speaking that about yourself. The Bible says He's made me rich, and therefore I'm rich. Everybody say, I'm rich. Amen. Bless the Lord. In Jesus' name. Begin talking it in the now. Speaking it now. Believing it in the now. Now, you put God's word out there, it brings it to pass. Let me read you that. I'm going to read that at Amplified, verse 11. It says, so shall my word be that goes in my mouth, it shall not return to me void, without producing any effect. In other words, it doesn't return without producing an effect. You can't speak God's word and something not happen. And then it says here, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing that I have sent it to do. New Century Translation says this, that it makes things happen that I want to happen. And they succeed in doing what I send them to do. God's word makes things happen. It's not just a word in a book. It's a word in a book that when you put it in your heart and your spirit, the Holy Spirit's anointing is the word of God in your heart and mind, and you speak it, you live it, you believe it, you walk it, you talk it, it makes things happen in your life. It's a big difference in Christians all over the world. My God, there are some people that come to the Lord and they get saved and they accept Him as Lord and Savior, and as far as they're concerned, they're going to heaven when they're dying, and I would say that they are. Thank God for it. But in every other area of their life, they live just like the world. When it comes to their health of their body, the finances of their life, their marriage, their love walk, all these kind of things. Why is it? Why is it that during wars in America, particularly in the Civil War and different wars we've had in America, where you could have Christians on both sides killing each other? Somebody somewhere wasn't applying the word, was they? And on both sides, they were writing sermons on why kill the other. Lord, help us. Let me show you something. Head toward our close. Let me show you. Look at John chapter 14, verse 28. John chapter 14, verse 28. Let me see if I'm still here. Yeah, there I am. There I am. I'm still. Hi, this is Leon. Hello. This is WOBG Radio. But anyway, got that radio voice from years ago. John chapter 14, verse 28. Listen real carefully. Words, which are thoughts, come first, then your life changes. Change does not come first, and then you begin to think it and talk it. Thoughts, which are your words, come first. Then your life changes. If you really want change in your life, if you want to get a promotion at work, if you want a better job, if you want health in your body, if you want a good marriage, you want a good home, if you want to really be invested in reading and studying the Word of God, living God, loving Him, walking and talking as the Lord wants you to, increasing your spiritual life every form and fashion, being free from sin, being delivered from everything that binds you, being set free from an ungodly mouth and attitude and hurting and wounding other people with your tongue, hurting and wounding other people with your hands, If you want to really get free from all this, this is it. Listen real carefully. The next few minutes, I'm going to give you the full answers and close it out. John 14, verse 28. Jesus said, "You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you." Now, obviously, at the time he said this, he hadn't went away yet, has he? But we know he did finally go away, right? What did he do? Did he go away first or did he say it first? He said it first, didn't he? Then he said, "If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I." Verse 29. "And now I have told you before it come to pass." Did it come to pass first, or did he tell it first? Read it again, verse 29. "Now I have told you before. I have spoke before. I have said before." Somebody said, "Well, I'm not going to say it. I get it." You're never going to get it. We want you to have it, but you're never going to get it that way. "I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe." Well, did Jesus say he was going away to the Father? Everybody say amen. Before he went away, did he say that? Amen. And did he go away? Yes, he did. So we're the one, we ought to believe then. Because he said, "I told you before then," so you'd be a believer. How many is a believer? Everybody say amen. All right. Now, listen, remember, we're imitators of God, imitators of Christ. If he says things before, you and I ought to say things before. Somebody said, "Well, I'm going to go to the doctor and see what's wrong with me." Before I go to the doctor, I'm going to say what's right with me. Everybody say, "I'm healed in Jesus' name." Before I do. Somebody said, "Well, you know what? One day my financial needs will be met." No. They're already met. My financial needs are already met. Amen? Already met. Bless the Lord. My needs are already met. Before. You got to say it and think it before you got it. Now, again, it's not just saying it. You got to think it. You got to be thoroughly convinced. And your mind's got to be renewed. Your spirit of your mind's got to be renewed. Just like Paul told us in Ephesians. Got to get my mind renewed to, I truly believe this about me. I believe this about my circumstances. I believe this about my situation. This is what I believe. This is what I am. I already know it. You tell me something different, you're going to shock me and surprise me because I don't believe it. Everybody say amen. I'm still there. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Not only do you have to speak it, think it, you got to see it before it's seen in your life, before it's seen in the natural, and before everybody else sees it. You got to see it. We know the scripture tells us in the Old Testament prophet said that without a vision, what happens to us? We perish, don't we? We need something out there before us. We need a goal. We need a place out there. We need to see something. You need to see what you are, who God has made you to be. Somebody, "Well, I'm still trying to get there myself." Well, you're really not. Because you're trying to do it in your own works, in your own strength, in your own ability. We just set what God's made us to be. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, God has made him to be sin and has made us to be the righteousness of God. Made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Now, if God has made him to be sin, is that already done? Everybody say amen. And he said, who knew no sin, that we might be made, past tense, righteous of God. Is that already done? Everybody say amen. Well, let me ask you something. What if you come down here today and said, "Pastor, I got a prayer need." I said, "What is that?" She said, "Well, I'm praying, I'm believing God that I'd be a human being." That you'd be a human being. You already are a human being. You already are a human being. You just need to recognize who you are. Trying to be something you already are? You can give that up. You already are. You got that done. Mark that off your list if that's what you're waiting on. Because you're done with that. Same way with the things of God. God's already healed me. He's already made me well. He's already made me whole. He's already blessed me financially. He's already blessed me with love in my heart and my life. Already done those things. It's already a done deal in Jesus' name. And so I don't have to pray for something that's already done. That'd be foolish, wouldn't it? Already been done. Now look what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Behold, we all, that's every one of us. Maybe if he was in the South, he'd say, behold, y'all. Y'all, that's a good name, Robert. Y'all. With open face, behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord, or changed into the image, same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Let me read the Berkeley version. It says this, but we all as with unveiled face, as we see us as in a mirror. I'm still there. If I look in this mirror, and I look, it casts a reflection of me. I'm not in the mirror. It's only showing me my reflection. And when I look in this mirror, I still see me. I'm still in the mirror. Still there, Sydney? Still there? Still pretty? You got more good looking as the service went on? Oh, yeah. Woo, Lord. Everybody go, woo. All right, girl. All right. We still in there? We still in there. But there is a problem with that. Because I'm looking in the mirror, I'm seeing the wrong person. Let me read it to you at Amplified Bible. All of us, as with an unveiled face, because we continue to be whole in the Word of God. I'm in there too. We continue to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror. Word of God. Mirror. There I am. As in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. When we look in the mirror, you need to keep looking till you don't see you anymore. You need to keep looking until your image and your reflection is not there anymore. Look at it straight in verse 18 once again. But we all with an open face behold as in the mirror. What are we beholding? The glory of the Lord. When I look into the mirror, what I see? I don't see me. Don't see you. I see the glory of the Lord. The mirror, of course, is the Word of God. And as I look into the Word of God, I don't see me. I see the glory of the Lord. Everybody say the glory of the Lord. You need to look and keep looking at yourself, at the reflection of yourself, until you see the glory of the Lord looking back. Now, look what it says. When that happens, when you can stop going to this mirror and stop seeing yourself and start seeing the glory of the Lord. In fact, the Berkeley version says, you see in the mirror the Lord's glory reflected. I'm the opposite of a vampire. A vampire don't cast a reflection, right? I got a reflection. I don't cast one either. My reflection is the glory of the Lord. That's the child of God's reflection. You can't see yourself either. Vampires don't have nothing up on you. Amen? So we as with the open face, we behold in this mirror the glory of the Lord. What happens? Let me tell you something. As long as you keep looking in the mirror and you keep seeing you, as long as you keep looking in the mirror of the Word and you still seeing you, oh, Lord God, I just wish you would just do something in my heart and in my life. Lord God, I wish you would bring healing to me. Lord, I'm believing for healing. Look in the Word. There's a promise. Oh, that's a good promise. Oh, I know what it is. Lord, just bring healing to me because I see that good promise. As long as you keep seeing that good promise, and you keep looking in there and you keep still seeing yourself needing healing, still see yourself sick, you hadn't looked long enough, with faith enough, with thought enough, and with confession enough. You're going to have to keep looking at the book. Keep looking at the word until you don't see yourself sick anymore. You keep looking at yourself, you don't see yourself down and out anymore. You don't see yourself lost and undone anymore. You don't see yourself without God anymore. In fact, every time you look in the book and every time you look in the mirror, you don't even see you at all. You see the reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it's supposed to be me holding up the mirror, but it's not me I'm seeing. It's God I'm seeing. I'm seeing the reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, when that happens, look at it again, verse 18. But we all with open face, behold, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are changed. You're not changed long you're still seeing yourself. You got to start seeing Jesus. You're not changed as long as you keep on seeing yourself. When you look in that mirror and you look in that word and all of a sudden, my Lord, I thought he'd been promised this to everybody. He promised it to me. I thought he's talking about everybody else and one day pie in the sky, one day in the future. No, it's me. It's right now. There I am in the word of God right there in Jesus' name. When you get to that place, that's a place that he says, then you're changed into the same image. Woo, everybody say, I look like God. You change into the same image. Change into the same image. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Glory to glory. That means, you know what? You need to take a second look. You look one time, you might be looking a little bit more like Jesus. You look more, you know, I still see this, a little bit of that and that and the other. But when you look again, Looking in the mirror, and have you said, you know, you ever noticed me and Jesus' ears about the same shape? I never noticed that before. And you get into the word, you're praying, you're seeking God, and you're just meditating the word, you're speaking the word, you're confessing, you're thinking the word. You come back to the mirror and you look in the mirror again. You say, you know what? Not only do our ears look alike, but me and Jesus both got big noses. Did you know that? Well, we look a lot alike. And then you go back into the word, you're speaking, you're praying, you're confessing the word of God, you're living in the word of God, honoring God, doing what God's told you to do. You go back to the mirror again. You say, you know what? Me and Jesus got the same color eyes. I never noticed that before. I'm beginning to see things about me and Jesus I never saw before. One day you're going to get up there and you're going to look in that mirror and say, hey, what happened to me? I see all Jesus on the inside down because I've been changed. You've been changed from glory to glory, from image to image. How does that happen? It changes through your mind. It changes through your word. It's done by the Spirit of the Lord, as he said. It changes based on what you see, what you speak, and what you're thinking in your heart and your life. I'm in the change. Amen. I'm in the change. Somebody said, I'm ready for change. Well, I'm ready for change, but I'm in the change. I'm in the process of being changed right now. Amen? Glory to God. Bless the Lord. Stand up with me this morning as we go before the Lord in Jesus' name.